Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a riser with crisp transients and dusty mids in Ableton Live 12, tuned for jungle and old-school DN beat energy. And right away, I want you to think of this less like an FX sound and more like a transition sample, something that feels like it was chopped, printed, and abused in a sampler-era studio. That mindset matters. In jungle and DN beat, risers have a job. They're not just supposed to go up. They have to bridge phrases, signal a drop change, and build tension without trampling the kick, snare, or breakbeat. So instead of chasing a glossy EDM uplifter, we're going for something grainy, a little broken, very intentional, and still clean enough to cut through a dense mix. The big target here is simple: sharp front edge, dusty midrange body, controlled top end, and enough movement to feel alive. That combination is what makes the riser feel old school, urgent, and useful. Let's build it from the ground up. Start with a simple source patch. Keep it plain. You can use operator, wave-eatable, or analog. A saw or triangle-based tone is a great starting point, but don't overcomplicate it. The point is not to make the final sound right away. The point is to create raw material that you can print and shape. A good starting range is somewhere around C2 to C3. Keep the filter fairly closed at first, anywhere from a few hundred hertz up to maybe 2.5 kHz depending on the oscillator. Add a little resonance, but not too much. Fast attack, medium decay, short release. If you want a touch of movement, a tiny bit of detune is fine, but don't make it wide and lush. Jungle safe usually means focused, not dreamy. Now add some dirt early. Put saturator on the source and push it a little. Maybe +2 to +6 dB of drive, with soft clip-on. Trim the output so you're not just making it louder, you're making it denser. This is an important teacher note. If the sound already has some imperfection in it before you print, the resampled result will feel more authentic and more sample-like. That's exactly the vibe we want. Next comes movement. Add auto filter and automate the cutoff over the length of the riser. For this style, don't make it too smooth or cinematic. A more aggressive shape usually works better. Try bandpass or highpass to keep the bottom clean and create that hollow rising motion. Start the cutoff somewhere low, then open it up into the upper mids and top end. Resonance can live in the 15 to 35% range if it helps the sweep speak a little more. If you want the sound to feel slightly unstable, lightly add frequency shifter. Tiny amounts only. We're not trying to make it sci-fi. We are trying to create microdrift, like a worn tape machine or an old sampler that's not perfectly behaving. Just a little movement there can make the riser feel haunted and alive. Now, here's one of the most important parts. The transient. A good old-school DNB riser needs a front edge. That crisp attack is what helps it punch through busy break layers. So before you print, layer in a transient hit. This could be a short noise stab, a rim shot slice, a vinyl tick, a snare ghost, or a tiny percussion burst. Use simpler in one-shot mode if you need to, and then shape it with drum bus if you want more crack. On drum bus, keep the boom low or off for this job. Use drive carefully, and push transients enough so the hit actually reads. Then clean out anything below a couple hundred hertz with EQ8. You want this layer to be short, sharp, and clear. It's the front door of the riser. If you want an even stronger effect, duplicate the layer and give the second copy a tiny fade in so you get a crack plus a broader dusty body. That's a nice trick when you want the sound to feel bigger without getting glossy. Now we print. This is the key step. Route the source to a track set to resampling, or record it to a dedicated audio track. Capture a full 2-bar or 4-bar pass, depending on how long you want the rise to feel. This is where the sound becomes a real DNB transition asset instead of a live synth patch. And honestly, this is where the magic happens. When you resample, you're committing the movement, the saturation, the filter sweep, and the transient shape into one piece of audio. That's very much in the spirit of classic jungle workflows, where texture and commitment mattered more than endless live control. After recording, zoom in and trim the clip tightly. Cut dead air. Leave a little pre-roll if the transient needs breathing room. If there's any click at the start or end, add a tiny fade. We want it tight, but not lifeless. Now treat the printed audio like a sample. Run EQ8, drum bus, saturator, and maybe glue compressor if it needs a little leveling. The first EQ move is usually to keep the low end under control. High pass somewhere around 120 to 250 hertz depending on the sound. If it feels boxy, pull a little around 300 to 600 hertz. If you need more definition, a gentle presence lift around 2 to 5 kHz usually helps the transient read. That 2 to 4 kHz zone is especially important for the crispy part of the sound in a dense DNB mix. Use drum bus carefully. A bit of drive and some transience can make the riser feel like it belongs in the same universe as the drums. But again, the goal is edge definition, not brute force loudness. If the print feels too polite, add a touch of saturator again. Soft clip-on, just enough to make the top of the transient bite a little harder. Now let's add the dusty mids. This is where the vibe really comes together. A jungle riser shouldn't sound pristine. It should sound like it's been through something. So try very light redux for some aliasing or bit reduction, or erosion in noise mode for that subtle sandpaper texture. Roar can also work beautifully if you keep it controlled. The trick is restraint. You want dust, not mush. A good dusty zone for the style lives around 500 Hz to 2.5 kHz. That's where the body feels sampled and physical. If the highs get too harsh after the degradation, don't just kill everything with a shelf. Use a Q8 to tame the specific fizz or narrow the rough bands, often somewhere around 7 to 10 kHz if needed. Now, one advanced move. Pitch and phrase lift. After the resample, try automating the clip transpose up a few semitones over the length of the riser. Something like plus 2 to plus 7 semitones can work well. You can also use warp if you want the tail to bloom a bit more. Be careful not to smear it into a watery mess unless that's part of your design. You can also automate a tiny gain lift near the end, or let the final half bar open up a little more in the filter. That last moment should feel like the riser is being pulled into the drop. And speaking of the drop, think arrangement. A really effective DNB transition often sits in a phrase that feels musical, not just mechanical. For example, if the track has an 8-bar or 16-bar section, let the riser enter near the end of the phrase, maybe under a snare fill. You might have strip drums, a bass tease, and atmosphere leading into it. Then the riser comes in with that crack at the front and the dusty motion underneath. On the last beat before the drop, you can even let things briefly thin out or stop, so the impact lands harder. That tiny vacuum before the drop is powerful. Don't underestimate it. Now we've got to make sure the riser is mix safe. Test it in mono with utility. If the transient disappears when summed, don't just make it wider. Rebalance the mid-range and front edge first. Keep the low end out of the way. The sound should support the arrangement, not smear the whole breakdown. And here's a big old-school DNB truth. The riser often feels stronger when it's more centered. Don't chase width too early. In this genre, a solid center can hit harder than a wide, pretty effect. Let the tail bloom a little if you want, but keep the core focused. If you want to push the vibe further, here are a few advanced variations. You can make a two-layer print. One version with stronger transient attack, another with more degradation and dust, then blend them. That often sounds better than trying to force everything through one chain. You can also reverse a copy of the riser and tuck it under the front half for a tape splice feel. Keep that reversed layer quieter so it supports the hit without blurring it. Another great move is to create a transient-only parallel. High-pass one copy aggressively and hit it with drum bus for attack. Keep the other copy focused on the dusty mids. Blend the two until it reads clearly on small speakers and still has texture on bigger systems. If you want it to feel even more sampler-like, resample it, re-import it into simpler, and re-trigger it with short note lengths or slight start point variation. That can make the transition feel chopped, handmade, and very much in the old-school pocket. Now, let's avoid the common mistakes. Don't make it too bright. If it's shiny, it'll lose that dusty jungle attitude. Don't leave too much low end in the print, because that will fight the drop. Don't use super smooth cinematic automation if the track wants attitude. Don't overwiden it, and definitely don't skip resampling. The print is the point. That's where the character gets locked in. For a good practice approach, make three versions. One with the strongest transient. One with the dustiest mids. One that's more restrained and mix safe. Then place each version before the same drop and compare them. Listen for which one hits hardest in context, which one works best on small speakers, and which one feels most like jungle. Usually the best choice is not the loudest one. It's the one that moves the arrangement forward most cleanly. So the big takeaway is this. Build from a simple source, add movement, print early, then shape the audio like a sample. Focus on crisp transients, dusty mids, and disciplined low end. That's the formula for a riser that feels like it came from the jungle era, not a generic modern preset. All right, now it's your turn. Build one source, print three versions, and make the transition speak. That's where the real lesson lies.